Welcome back to We Bombastic Few, Season 5, Episode 6. Now, if you're thinking last week was a little bit late, you're wrong, because it wasn't. It was totally on time, and you can check the records, and it's fine.
Just recalculate the time zone difference, and maybe
exactly. You didn't factor in that with the Earth rotating a little faster on the 4th of July weekend.
And the way the stars were, yeah.
And then the fireworks actually there was a thing with the fireworks where they all the thrust from the fireworks actually rotated the Earth in the opposite direction just a tad bit, just a little bit. It fixed itself out. And so everything's normal.
But
now.
All the scientists are talking about it for it a solid 48
hours.
Exactly.
If you look
just
at
look
it,
at Google.
If you look at it, it'll look like we published like 9 hours later than normal, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's the fireworks' fault, not a certain individual's.
Mm-hmm,
we take zero responsibility.
Absolutely not our fault. You know what else we don't take responsibility for? We don't have a Twitter. Do you know how many times we've told you to tweet us? And we're nearly certain we don't have a Twitter now after consulting amongst ourselves.
Didn't we? I thought we had one at first, and then it like got banned or something, right?
Maybe we did. I don't know. The point is, no one knows if we actually have it. So
we were banned for being too controversial. Hot takes
only
on this pod.
So we may or may not
exactly
put forth some effort to change that in the near future.
We'll talk to the manager.
I'm going to try and code something with my mad coding skills.
Brent,
my hacking
you should
skills.
Make a deep learning bot and have it listen to all of our episodes and then generate text files. And then you can cut funny segments out of that and tweet it.
What do you think? That's such an interesting idea. A bot that can tell what's funny. That would, like, you train an algorithm to detect what's funny. That, like, I wonder if anyone's ever attempted that.
It's not what I said, but that's an interesting idea.
I know. I'm Brent.
Yep. I'm Daniel.
And I am Lindsay.
Which means that we're moving right along. Today's segments, mini qualgorithm, hypothetical, because what's a podcast without a hypothetical? And we're bringing back my game, the fun one. But first we got bombastic word, fartlek, the action of switching between jogging and sprinting, which apparently was invented in Sweden, I think, based on my 18 seconds of Googling on how to pronounce it.
Wait, now that you say that, that does look like a word that would come from Swedish. Fartlek.
It's pretty
assumptuous.
Swedish.
Swedish. That's pretty Swedish of you.
Yep, it was.
But also, so... of course, as you know, it's a math podcast, so I've got a math thing for you. But really quick, of course, we must regale you with the tale of the casino escapades of the past week, where I played craps because I finally learned how to play. Immediately crapped out and lost $10. Won it back in baccarat, so I was sitting at $20. I go to video poker. And, like, I played a little Keno, lost a little, but I only playing, like, 5-cent hands. And then playing video poker, 5-cent hands. And I hit a royal flush.
Wow. How much did that net you?
Well, so here's the caveat, right? I was playing on a machine with wilds, and the royal flush was with wilds. Specifically, it's deuces wild is the game. And so if your royal flush did not have wilds, it's a 250 times payout. With wilds, it's a 25 times payout, which at 5 cents gets you $1.25. But that meant I left the casino 40 cents ahead, and so we're winning back that $60
slowly but surely.
No problem.
Keep us updated on that. You know, 40 cents, 1 cent, down 40 cents or a cent. Yeah, we got to track until you're back up to recouping your losses.
Down 60, up 40 cents, down 87, up 10 cents. The roller coaster continues. But speaking of gambling, I want to introduce to you the St. Petersburg paradox. And so the St. Petersburg paradox, the idea is there's this game. And it's offered for you to play, and someone's going to flip a coin. It's a fair coin. 50-50 chance of it landing head or tails. If it lands on heads, you get paid $2. Then you flip it again. If it lands on heads again, you get paid $4. If it, you flip it and you continue. And then you get paid 8, 16, so on and so forth. If it lands on tails at any point, you keep everything you won up until that point, but you do not get that flips money. So it heads the first time, you get $2. And tails the second time, you've lost. You didn't win $4, but you get to keep the $2 you won. So the question is, doing the math, the expected value, which expected value is percent of something happening times the result. So if you had a 50% chance of getting $100, your expected value is $50. The expected value of the St. Petersburg game is infinite because you have a half a chance of winning $2, and then you have a fourth of a chance of winning $4, and an eighth of a chance at winning $8, and all that's added together. And so 1 + 1 + 1 to infinity. And so your expected value is infinite dollars. And so the paradox / question is, how much would you pay to play this game with an expected value of infinite money?
How much would I pay to play that game? Mm-hmm. Well, considering there's a 50% chance right off the bat that I get nothing.
Correct.
I paid $2.
$2. Even when your technical expected value, what you're expected to win, is infinite money.
This is an established paradox. This isn't.
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm like trying to figure out why you add the values together.
Well, it's just because you won the. It's each percentage times the value if you win. So like you had a 50% chance of winning $2, a 25% chance of winning $4.
Okay. I see.
And it's all added together.
Nope. I'm with it now.
So you're still paying $2?
I don't know where I got lost, but there was at some point that I'm not understanding.
So the reason the expected value is infinite is because when you get $2, you have a 50% chance of that happening. Okay. So then you go on to $4, mm-hmm. and now there's a quarter of a chance that you get the $4. Mm-hmm. So 50% times 2 is 1, 25% times 4 is 1, and it continues like that. Mm-hmm. And so you add the chances times the value of every iteration, and given the prompt is infinite, the expected value then becomes infinite.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not infinite if you put a limit. If you say up to 50 times, then like the expected value becomes $50, right?
Finite. Yeah, exactly. It's the expected value is how many times you play.
Yeah.
Can play, I guess. Did Daniel's explanation of it make sense, Lindsay?
I think I understand it enough at this point, yes.
Okay, so how much are you willing to pay to play the game?
Since apparently once a month gambling makes me a gambling man, I don't know. I feel like I've got some money to spare. I feel like I could throw some down just to have a money-producing game.
His life savings down on this game.
You're saying a lot of stuff without any numbers. Let's hear some numbers.
I'd say I could, although why not at least $1,000 on it.
Okay, hold on.
I'm starting to think you did not understand the prompt. Hang on.
Well, because that's the paradox, right? Is because technically, since you're expected to get infinite money, you should be willing to pay everything you own. But your chances of getting that, infinite money are infinitely low because you have a 50%. And then, times a 25% chance, times a 12.5% chance, times a 6.75% chance, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and even if you win each,
It would take you 9 coin flips in a row to make $22 if you put 1,000 in. 9 coin flips in a row nets you $1,022. Or not nets. It gives you $1,022. If you put 1,000 in, then it would take 9 coin flips for you to be positive.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought you presented it as you get to have this coin to play whenever you want. That's why I was...
Nah.
No. So
the second you hit a tails, you lose.
Okay, I much everything. More understand now.
Or no, I'm sorry, you don't lose everything. You lose. You don't continue playing.
Yes. Okay, I understand now. I thought it was presented as you get to pay to have access to this game indefinitely. Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's theoretically infinite.
Sure.
But
I will throw.
If you had infinite access, then you should pay everything you ever.
That's why I was confused as why this was much of a question. But let's say, I don't know, have fun with it. It feels like it's worth $10. Even if I don't make it back, it's worth the story.
So $10 is, you only need to win 3. And you're moderately ahead with 3. And so I feel like I'd do, honestly, because I'm not sure I would expect to win past 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... I think $10 is reasonable, but I think I would only go 5, just because that way if you win 2 times you've made a profit, and if you like immediately lose it's $5.
Yeah.
And if you lose on the second one, it's only $3.
Yeah. I guess my question is, like, if they said you can play this game but it costs you $10 up front, I would probably do it. So I guess my initial statement of $2 is not valid. Now, if they said...
Yeah, $2 seems extremely low.
Well, if they were like $15 to play, then I'd be kind of like, I don't know about all that. 3 fives? A 10 and a 5? Who keeps tens anymore?
Here's the thing. Sitting at my computer with my Excel spreadsheets and looking at numbers and stuff, such, I'm like $5. If I was at the casino and they're like, listen, I have this fair coin, blah, like they give me the scenario at a casino, I'd be like, I got a crisp 20 in my pocket. Let me play this game.
Yeah. I feel like I could be somewhat generous for it just because I have a story to tell on it. And like, I think one thing I've told you, Brent, a lot is like, I don't necessarily go to a casino to think I'm going to win all this money. I go like, oh, I'm willing to spend this much money for entertainment. So, like, same thing. I'm willing to do it just for the entertainment and potentially story value.
Yeah. Also, I realized I misspoke earlier. I said 50% times 25% times whatever. It actually is just a 50% chance, a 25% chance, whatever percent chance, because, like, all it's factored in. So your chance of winning, like, up to $8, like $8 plus all the previous, is a 12.5% chance.
So. This, like...
You
go ahead.
Better odds than I originally presented. I realize as I'm staring at numbers.
Better, even better odds to win an infinite amount of expected money.
Exactly. But the point is like expected value. You use it a lot in engineering and whatever. Like I had an engineering economics class that we always use expected value. But like it's interesting to see when you have real life examples like that where expected value breaks down. Using the martingale strategy, I made it be able to search according to different bets and different input parameters, and I gave it the input parameter of I have $100, give me the best possible expected value, like what are the bets I can make, and the best possible expected value was 2 bets on a single number of like basically $50 each, because your expected value is like $80. Now then that's only because your chance of winning's like 2% roughly times a payout of like it was like $8,000 or something. So your expected those aren't right numbers, but the point is it was several thousand dollars times 2% gets you $80, and so that is the best expected value, but betting on a single number is a scary and not wise thing to do.
Hmm. don't know what you said at the beginning, but something reminded me of, like, the Collatz conjecture or whatever. The 3n plus congester. 1.
My favorite.
Situation. Are you aware of that, Brent?
I heard colon congester from Daniel. Collatz conjecture. I'm not sure I caught what you said.
Or the Collatz conjecture or the 3n plus 1 problem. Well,
I
okay, this might be a topic for another day. Daniel, what were you saying?
I just said I've heard of this. I don't remember what the deal is, but when you said 3n plus 1, I was like, oh, I read something
about this. So, like, it's, I don't know what, again, I don't know what made me think of it, but it's just a whole, it's the idea of you give any, like, if you get an odd number, you add, or you times it by 3 and add 1, and then if you get an even number, you divide it by 2, and every, like, apparently this is a big, like, problem. No one really knows how to explain why this happens, blah, 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 because you're, like, and if you throw any number at it, eventually it's going to go down to, like, 4, 2, 1, and then it's once an odd number goes back to 4, 2, 1, repeats that. And, like, my, I don't know why it's such a big, like, question, or why it's so not understood when, like, the whole idea is pushing an even number to get it to get lessened. I don't know. That's
what was it divided by 2? Was that the other
what?
Thing? Was it divide by 2 on evens?
Evens, yes.
Okay, so say you start with 4. So 3n plus 1, you get 13. So 3n plus 1, you get 40. And then you get 20. And then you get 10. And then you get 5. And then 16. And then 8. And then 4. And then 2. And then 1. And then, four, and then 2, and then... Okay, that's it. So it always, like, cycles 4, 2, 1, 4, 2, 1, 4,
this
2,
just
1.
Sounds like a math person's cosmic.
Yeah, no, I was just about to say, this reminds me of this game I used to play called The Cosmic Number. And so...
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what I feel like it is.
And so the deal... The Cosmic Number game is you tell someone to give you any number, and they
you're not going to explain the catch, right?
I was thinking about it. I mean, should I not? Okay, so like...
No.
Well, we'll see. I won't explain it, but we can give a couple examples. Basically, I can bring any number back to 4, and 4 is the cosmic number, and you have to figure out why each number progresses to the next one. And so...
I don't believe you. 11.
11? All right. 11 is 6.
Let him punch some numbers real quick.
6 is 3. 3 is 5. 5 is 4, and 4 is cosmic.
That doesn't make any sense. What about 12? Surely you can't do it with 12.
Well, 12 is 6. 6 is 3. 3 is 5. 5 is 4. 4 is cosmic.
I don't believe
22.
You.
22. Well, 22 is 9. 9 is 4. And 4 is cosmic.
Hot dang, he can do it.
Proven.
What is this witchcraft?
There is rhyme and reason to this, but... Brent would be very upset with me if I gave the answer, because when I was in middle school and I would do this to people, I was very adamant about never sharing the answers to my riddles, and I just liked watching people squirm.
Never once. Never single... He could not ever be convinced. You had to figure it out on your own.
Yeah. And we're all better for it. You're welcome, world.
Yeah.
All right, that concludes this week's math segment. Tune in next week.
Okay.
Unless you guys are going to talk about math too.
So, like, you know how when you're on a plane, when you're ascending or descending, your ears, like, get shredded? Like, it just feels bad in your ears.
If that's the action you want to put towards it, sure.
Interesting verb choice.
I was
going to
say
sure.
Shrekt, but then I was like, eh, whatever. But, like, if you open your mouth really wide, it, like, helps, or just, like, moving your jaw. So, like, chewing gum even gives it, like, a little bit of a more pleasant experience. But why? Like, it kind of makes sense, like, the back of your jaw is, like, near your ears, but it's still weird to me. Like, why does that relieve the pressure?
Have you ever seen the movie Meet Dave?
No.
I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. basically, it's about, I think, oh man, I feel bad now. Because I'm pretty sure it's Eddie Murphy in the movie, and he's an alien. Like, his body is a robot, and there are tiny people inside his body, and they are controlling the robot that is, like, the large, normal-sized person. And so, basically, if you experience plain ear issues, you are a robot slash alien. That's the people inside of you getting thrown around in the plane.
Yeah.
And so they can't regulate the ear pressure properly.
That makes total sense. That explains everything away from me, except for the jaw part. So why does moving my jaw help them?
Because it counteracts the motion of the plane, and so.
Oh, okay.
Also, by the way, we got a 10 out of 10. The movie is Meet Dave, and it is Eddie Murphy. So.
Yeah. It unfortunately.
The title of Movie Buff is retained.
It unfortunately did not get a 10 out of 10 itself. It has pretty bad reviews. But, well, okay.
It did not.
Google users gave it, like, 92% liked it. IMDb has it at a 5 out of 10. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a fun idea. It's a comedy movie. What were you expecting? People can be harsh critics.
Yeah, I mean,
especially critics.
Critics
are harsh critics.
If I'm going to a movie and I know it's a comedy, I don't expect it to be a good movie. I just want to laugh. It's kind of like when I watched Godzilla versus Kong. I didn't care that it had like bad acting, script writing, or whatever. I thought it was a great movie because it had incredible action. I was coming around. I was just saying, like, it doesn't have to be a quote unquote good movie to be a good movie.
It gets Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim is an example of a movie that just gets a pass. All fine details of film are ignored just for the sake of Pacific Rim.
You know, I feel like I would share this opinion, except I fell asleep during Pacific Rim. So, I didn't even go to see Pacific Rim 2, because I was like, well,
I haven't seen Pacific Rim 2 either.
Pacific Rim 2 is...
I don't know. Does it get excuses?
Yeah, it's just not as great.
Yeah,
the magic was kind of gone.
Sure. I mean, when you're making a sequel to a movie like that, you just have to know what people are there to see, and it's giant mecha like robots just duking it out.
I think they tried
ocean.
To put more plot in there, and the issue is it's like no one was going there for that.
Huge. It's like, you know, the first Sharknado. Was pop, even though they tried to do a, you know, a plot for it, like all the other sci-fi movies, like the TV channel sci-fi, all the other movies coming out from them, like, kind of had a plot, but mostly it was just, like, silly, random monsters fighting each other, stuff like that. Like, a crocodile T-Rex mix fights a robotic shark. So the first one kind of had plot, and then it got really popular somehow, or... I don't know the circumstances of Sharknado 2 being made, but I feel like with 2, they kind of started going less in a plot direction and more in a embracing the absurdity direction. And I think that's why they were able to make 6 of them.
Yeah. I remember talking in like freshman year of college, I was talking with someone about Sharknado. And Sharknado, like, I was like, oh, yeah, that was funny how they made 2 of those. And I was like, Sharknado 5 was coming out that, the day we were talking about it.
I made all of my friends watch it with me live. It was awesome.
Intriguing. Speaking of movies, and the waiting for movies that you hear about months to years before they come out, do you ever, like, so for me personally, I found that, like, if I'm more focused on the weekly outlook, like, time goes by so much faster. I'm sure that's the case for a lot of people. So, like, for example, if I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I can't wait for this movie coming out next year or whatever that's going to happen next year, time, the week, the day, everything goes by slowly. But if I sit here and think, oh, like, I don't like Wednesdays because I go to work into the office on Wednesdays. like I'm only focused on one part, like one much smaller scale, which makes the week go by faster, which makes the month go by faster. So why don't we force time relativity change on ourselves by focusing on such small scale things?
Wait. So focusing on the fact that you hate Wednesdays makes the week go by faster. Is that correct. What you're saying?
Yes.
That's so kind of interesting. When I was working an internship, I really didn't like it. And it would be like Sundays was almost the worst day of the week for me, because all I could do mm-hmm. all day was think about the fact that the next day was Monday.
Absolutely.
And like it's just like I really hated this job. Like I would literally just be laying in bed like, I don't want to go outside. I don't want to leave my room. I don't want to eat. I don't want to play video games. All I could think about is just the dread of going in tomorrow. It was bad.
Should make Mondays legally Fridays.
Now that's interesting. The weekend starts after Monday.
Yeah. And the weekend technically that like they do that, and then there's a technicality. The weekend is officially like 2 days before Monday, but since Monday no longer exists, there's no longer a weekend.
You have the weekend, right, after Friday, but then you have Monday, which is actually Friday, and so the day after Friday is Saturday, so they're like, see you tomorrow, and you're like, what, are you gonna make me come in on a Saturday? And they never will, so you just get this extra weekend in the middle of your week.
Right.
And as everyone knows, after the Sunday comes Monday, and Monday's Friday, so you come in Friday, which is now Thursday. And they say, all right, we'll see you tomorrow. It's Friday. Say, no, it's Saturday. You're not going to make me come in on a Saturday. So you get like this one day on, 2 days off kind of deal going.
This sounds like the prisoner's dilemma of it's like, you will not know the day we come to execute you, and it will happen before the end of the week. And so it's, I can't be on Friday, and therefore it can't be on Thursday. Because if it it can't happen on Friday, and it can't happen on Thursday, because I know it can't happen on Friday, and it can't happen on Wednesday, because it can't happen on Thursday, it can't happen on Tuesday, so he's never being executed.
I think you're thinking of a different dilemma. I thought the prisoner's dilemma was like where, you know, two people are in prison.
That specifically.
I think the one that I know as the quote unquote prisoner's dilemma is like, okay, they put two people in like interrogation rooms. And they say, okay, if you and the other person both confess, you get like 5 years in prison. If you rat the other person out and claim innocence, they get 10 years.
And if you're both quiet, you both walk away.
Yeah, something like that. Except it's a little different because then there's no incentive not to both be quiet.
Well, you just don't know if the other person's going to get view up.
But right, but if you...
Because you get away scot-free if you give them up. Is at least the one I know of.
Yeah, there has to be some incentive. Like, you have to get like some kind of reward other than not going to prison. Because otherwise, both people would just stay quiet because there's no reason to screw the other person over. Right?
I guess. I don't... I think... Yeah.
Because
the basis is not just that you don't trust the other person.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I think that one
you get $1.
I have always known as the prisoner's dilemma. Yeah, $1. You get off scot-free, the other person goes to jail, and you get $1. My first dollar, so this is a big deal to me.
No, it's a $2 bill, actually.
Oh, rare.
You know, we started this intro section, and I thought, dang, we're powering through this. And now we're 30 minutes in. So,
let's go. This is all because we played the cosmic number game.
We cannot resist the tangent. This is the tangent podcast.
Hey, well, I think this isn't the intro. This is still segment A. So, like, we're on a good pace, I think.
Mm-hmm. Also, we brought up math. Anytime we bring up math, the podcast goes awry.
And this is a math podcast, of course.
Exactly.
And a tangent podcast.
There's a podcast I listen to that claims to have a podcast within a podcast, I feel like we have a podcast within a podcast, and that is the
multiple
math
times.
Podcast.
Yeah,
we have.
But we need to come up with a catchy name for the math podcast.
We have a mini Qualgorithm, and that's the real podcast. And the rest of it is just fluff.
Except the hypothetical.
The hypothetical, we just talk about Blockbuster. You think people want to hear that?
Talk about Blockbuster.
Oh, right. Blockbuster and sports. Well, how have we not talked about sports movies in the hypothetical?
Name three sports
next
movies.
Next hypothetical. What if sports movies were the only movies available at Blockbuster?
Speaking of the next hypothetical and things that come before the next hypothetical, we have a bombastic quote today. Lindsay, you got that for us?
No one knows about the future except the ones who hold knowledge of the future. And now to the hypothetical. So, as I've gotten approval from the Department of Transportation globally, we now have come across this one thing where we're all working out, we're all using the same modes of transportation for the same amount of energy to be able to get to where we need to go, that we start noticing that since we're all in the same routine, all of our muscle mass and all of our strength has become equal. So now everyone in the world has equal strength from birth to death.
Okay, so two immediate questions. One, I didn't have this until you said muscle mass. So does that so everyone has equal muscle mass?
I didn't say equal muscle mass. They said that it knows things about our muscle mass and that our strengths were equal.
So
sure. How strong are we? What can we do? What's max we can bench?
And if people are working out, does that increase the average strength of everyone?
Ooh, interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Because otherwise, bodybuilding was literally going to be you go to the gym just to like sculpt your body, but you're not getting stronger.
Yeah.
Hey, definitions worth.
Hey, I'm not saying it's a worthless endeavor, but that it would change in that way.
I'm looking up average bench press for you, Brent.
Sorry.
I'm looking up average bench press.
How?
Well, apparently, according
for what demographic though?
I do not know.
I mean, this is across every person in the world. So
well, as okay, makes so sense, age babies. 20 to 29, it's you're able to do 100% of your body weight average, but that descends with time. But that's just a rough number.
So are we going with that?
Sure.
Well, cause, I mean, okay. You have to account for old people and babies. So it balances out because
there's also stronger people that can bench. Like multiple times they're
well right weight. But that's why it averages out too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can lift your body weight or
I thought you were saying weight. We had an accountant for the old people. I was like, no, it's already balanced out. Okay,
right, I would say probably everyone in the world can do like 80-90% of what is the quote-unquote average for a young person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sure, if people instead of if people use some of their leisure time outside of their transportation time to gain more muscle, yes, we become stronger.
So there's like 7.53 or something billion people, right? How, like, that's because it's hard to, if you go to the gym, you personally, like ignoring this for a second, you work out for like 2 months. You increase by several pounds how much you can lift, but that several pounds is then divided by 7.53 billion.
Oh yeah, so it's such a small.
I think how culturally, like, it becomes the norm that like in the mornings, like everybody works out.
I was gonna say that, or like a certain day of the week, or even like a monthly day that everyone does some strength training. Because in theory, you're still using muscle, so you're not necessarily going to lose it.
I feel like I want to be a freeloader.
But if you're going to strength train every so often, you're still technically going to keep it to some. Like, it's not going to deteriorate as fast as if you're just going to sit around on the couch. You're still using the muscle because you need to get around for transportation. So you're using these different muscle groups already.
No. See, because the thing is, Brent, it would devolve into a 1984-like society where, like, you're always being watched and you kind of have these propaganda broadcasts. But yeah. Now it's the Department of Health globally, and you will be arrested and potentially executed for skipping
excuse
your
workout. Excuse me. I would prefer it to be Department of Muscle Mass globally.
The DOMC.
I don't think you can be arrested for not working out. I think.
No, you can't.
I think some countries would have some issues, and some might let you freeload.
I'm moving to a country that lets me freeload, and I'm never working out again.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
Good
luck getting there.
Also.
the Dom Good
marathons, right? Your average person cannot run a marathon, which arguably, I guess that's more endurance,
yes.
But I'm kind of lumping them together.
Yeah, you bring up a good point.
Can just no one do, like, an Ironman or anything anymore? Because the average person can't do an Ironman.
Okay, this brings up interesting points, because to a lot of, like, excessive cardio training, endurance training can take away from muscle mass. And it goes more towards like a smaller developed more because your body's trying to become more efficient to be like to go speed rather than just strength. So I feel like I bring this up because I'm trying to decide if we want to lump endurance in with this.
I think you should, just because it kind of it like everyone having the same strength, like strength doesn't matter anymore. It's now just exclusively endurance. I think you've just replaced one thing for another, really.
I think
you have to have a decent amount of endurance just to use the transportation too. To be able to do all that
work. I don't know why you're trying to continually bring up the transportation thing.
That was the root of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was trying to think about like why someone might have a reason to still like, you know, work out or like try and be bigger. And I was like, oh, well, maybe you play football and you play on the defensive line. So you're trying to like, you know, even though everyone has the same amount of strength, I mean, if you have more mass, you can still maybe leverage that to get more momentum, more force through. But then I thought, well, if everyone has the average amount of strength, then getting too big means you would not be able to move your body anymore. You wouldn't be physically capable.
Your momentum would always be constant because like you became weaker proportionally to your how heavy you are. And so,
well, that's the thing though.
You cannot get as high a speed.
If in theory you're trying to become bigger and stronger, like it's not going to help, because in theory you're going to help the opposing team too.
So think about how much strength you have in your legs, either of you, any of us, and now think about if you're 6'5", 270. Like,
I think they're just screwed.
Yeah, like it's over. Tall people are out. Short people are in. Dude, all professional sports are played by short people.
Are so freaking fast. Babies can freaking move it.
Yeah.
Dude, they come out.
They can jump probably 4 feet.
Yeah.
They got that crazy
parents
vertical.
Have a hard time. Dude. They have to like tag team like a kid.
Carriages. Like if you're rolling your baby around in a stroller, like you have to have a cage over the front because they can like break themselves out.
Easily.
Jump around, don't like hurt.
That's an
they'll
interesting
jump out and hurt themselves.
That's an interesting aspect. I think a lot of problems would be generated if parents are not stronger than their children at infancy into toddlership.
Well, I mean, I think it might come down to like either only having one child or spacing out your children, because you would have
even
to
with
have
just one child. If
you would
it,
have
like,
to, no,
you need to force them to eat. You literally can't.
No, that's why you have to double team it. You like you have to have both parents able to help at any point if the child like.
I mean, everyone
like, fights.
This
back
is how
at
people
all.
Will get their workouts. Actually, everyone takes up martial arts as part of. So you know you have those parenting classes where they're teaching you how to go through pregnancy. Well, now an integral part of that is like learning like.
Different
holds,
martial arts
different
like
holds you can put someone in
holds.
To like disable them.
Yeah.
No, dude, stop saying them. This is for children. This is to disable and hold children still.
Yes. Yeah. So
that's just part of,
you know, like if you're a parent, like you have to be able to, you know, probably in some instances be able to hold them down with one hand and, you know, do something else with another. Right? Or maybe like sometimes you just have to like wrestle them down and put them in a hold until, you know,
I think you just handcuff
calm down.
You handcuff your child to the chair and then force feed them vegetables.
Dude, the children are going to rise up. They're all going to do strength
a jail cell
together,
just like Daniel mentioned.
Until they can just break the chair through their handcuffs.
Yeah, they raise the strength of everyone to the point in which the handcuffs are no longer effective.
There's a resistance group against the Department of Muscle Mass globally.
Okay, I have
like
another
constantly
suggestion
working out
I was named.
To overthrow them.
Department of Muscle en Masse globally.
Muscle en Masse? Oh, I see. Yeah, Department of Muscle en Masse. I like it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The sports.
I feel like teams are very equal. That's my thought.
By definition,
well,
yeah.
Well,
I
yes,
mean,
but like
it's not about strength, like I mean, technique just becomes that much more important.
Just skill, yeah.
It well, that is the only thing, right?
In theory, yeah.
I guess coordinate, but which arguably could be technique.
Yeah,
yeah.
So. I mean, like at like a top level of any sport, everyone has insanely good technique, right? So, but that would be interesting. Like strength is sometimes where you can get the edge, but sometimes you just have that next level of technique that no one else really has figured out. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting though for like basketball, like we were talking about, the like taller people are at a disadvantage because they have less strength to move a larger frame. And so I think you would want
the sports meta is to become the lankiest you can. So like you're eating less and you're not exercising because you're not trying to build your muscles. And then, you know, you can jump higher, you can run faster.
I think movies would become really entertaining just because I've seen so many movies with The Rock and Chris Hart in it. And the entire movie is centered around the joke that Chris Hart is smaller than The Rock, and that's the entire movie. And so now that movie genre becomes a lot less entertaining, but for the like the first time it's shown, it's pretty funny just because Chris Hart is as strong as The Rock.
You really claim to be a movie buff and you're talking about The Rock and you're calling him Chris Hart. It's Kevin Hart, Brent.
Kevin, oh my goodness. I think that does sound wrong.
I like thought I had a connection for why he did it wrong, and then I thought about it more and the connection made even more sense. So I was like, maybe he's thinking of Chris Rock, also a comedian, right?
And I think
but,
I was.
You know, you go The Rock, Chris Rock, and bam, Chris Hart. That's the connection.
Yeah, exactly. That's my excuse. That's my I rest my case, Judge. Don't make me go to prison.
You're willing to accept that you might go to prison for saying Kevin Hart wrong, but not for defying the DOMMG. DOMMG.
Anyway, we need a way to distribute these new equal strength movies.
Well, because, you know, you're going to be doing your workouts through workout videos. And...
Mm-hmm.
You know, DVDs are able to be pretty widely produced, but they're just kind of inefficient for this sort of thing. You need something that won't, because, you know, you're going to be jumping around a lot. Like, you don't want to scratch up your disc if you're tired after the workout and handling the disc. So you need something a little more durable, something that can take scratches.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I also like our implication always that Blockbuster did not sell DVDs / rent DVDs.
No, it was only VHS.
They definitely did.
No. They were gone before DVDs existed. We're changing history to the Victor writes the history books.
That's almost a quote.
It's close enough. To the Victor goes the spoils. Winner. Yeah. Silence. I won the argument, so I'm writing the quote. History quote.
Yep, I rewrote that history quote about rewriting history because I won.
Making
that's that.
Thought I had something. I didn't. Any other also, thoughts? Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, just kind of going off of the parents and children. Any position that of like quote unquote authority. That also I'm thinking of like teachers and students. I think in specifically like second grade or something. I think that could be problematic.
I think you almost have like orderlies for like that has like some kind of like cuffing or something to be able to like restrain kids if they like disobey or try to like revolt at all.
Dude, every school becomes like military school and yeah. Like it's very orderly and you like teach them this like absurd level of discipline.
I was thinking you go in the direction of you develop a net that you know no one can break out of because everyone has equal strength, and then you just give all these teachers nets, and you just put the child, like, you net them if they're bad, and then they're trapped in the net.
Here's another idea. So, like, your vocal cords and your lungs are all very, like, very muscle-related, so the overall music and like music talent or vocal talent might go down because the pop music, the big name artists are in theory the better singers, but now that they're brought down to the average, the music industry vocal talent is going down.
Same with instruments, because it takes like a lot of facial muscle to be able to hit, like especially if you're playing a brass instrument. Like if you're trying to hit a really high note on a trumpet, like you're working your facial muscles pretty hard.
Yeah.
Imagine having been in band and played a brass instrument.
You know what? I will admit to being a trumpet. It was a dark time in my life, but fortunately I saw the light and switched to tuba before I left band. So still brass, but. You know, I think tuba's like the acceptable. Actually, all of the low brass I think is acceptable. Trombone, well, I mean, really just trombones and tubas. The rest, you know, it's a toss up. I don't feel like anyone has any beef with the low brass. Probably, just low brass just has infighting.
Exactly.
Tuba's only going to war with trombones. Trombones going to war with euphoniums. I don't remember what the euphonium is, but. It's an instrument that exists.
You go off. You could have said anything, any series of letters, and I would have been like, "Yep, that's my favorite low brass instrument."
Yeah,
the flutatorium.
That
a combination of a flute and an auditorium.
That's what needs to be done. They should make a low brass instrument that's played like the flute, where you just blow across it and it reverberates through. That'd be awesome. I don't know if acoustics work that way, but maybe. You just make the flute really big and round like a gourd.
Or just a gourd.
Dude, put like the top. So like, you know how you could do you can make a bottle reverberate if you play it like a flute, if you blow across the top. So you just stick a bottle, like cut off the bottom and stick it into a gourd, and you have an instrument. Cut a hole out the bottom so the sound could come out. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
I just invented a new instrument. Trademark, copyright, patent pending, by the way. You carry it on your back like a backpack.
Patent isn't pending? Are you legally allowed to say that?
I would imagine
not.
Worst they could do is be like, no, you don't have a patent pending. I'm going to patent this. I think.
That,
I don't know.
If you falsely claim patent pending, you instantly the patent office instantly gets to claim that patent.
Yeah, apparently if you steal money from a bank, they also do the same kind of punishment. They just say, no, you're not supposed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. That's the only kind of repercussions you'll see.
It's like when you lie about
and
doing.
And they instantly claim that money.
Yeah.
When you lie about doing your daily training to the world organizations. Forgot what we named them already. Anyhow, today's episode was brought to you by a very special sponsor. Do you ever clean like your glasses, and you know, you do a really good job, you get the spray on, whatever, you put the ball on, you're like, oh, everything's so clear, and you look around, you're like, it's just a little too sharp. It's kind of like stabbing my eyes when I look at things, you know. Well, now introducing the lens dirtier, for giving your glasses that perfect amount of dirty that it's comfortable. Just like when you have all your clean clothes sprawled out across the floor instead of put away. I believe you guys should have gotten your sample products of the lens dirtiers. How have they done for you?
The quality.
I really enjoy them. They just add the like you said, the perfect tint to glasses. Also, the with their newest one, extra dirty wipes, you can basically turn your glasses into sunglasses, which I really like because I don't have a pair of prescription sunglasses.
Yeah,
so.
Those were great for me as well because you know I can't really wear sunglasses while I'm driving in a way that they stay on and is comfortable. So just wiping the nice greasy patented formula of the super dirty wipes and you know
they,
and
they
bam
said in the ad read, we have to call them extra dirty wipes.
Excuse me, I misspoke there, the extra dirty wipes, and yeah, I no longer have that sun glare on my lens.
See, so. I personally got the extra dirty wipes plus, and they turned all of my lenses and glasses into sleep masks, which is what I needed so I can get better rest at night.
Wow, that's awesome. And it's also perfect for if you need to, you know, catch a quick snooze in the office, and they'll say, oh, he's just dirtying his lens to, you know, reduce the glare off his screen. That's proactive taking care of your health there. But, you know, you didn't hear it from me, but that is a use for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us into segment C. As we all know, C is for Brent's game. Now, the way this game works is each of us has a noun in our head, something. And so what we do is we pick one of three words either to describe it, either giraffe, plane, or candle, whichever we think is closest to it. And then we keep adding adjectives to that until it leads the other two to the right answer. And ideally, you want to use as few adjectives as possible. For instance, if I was thinking of a peanut, I might say it's a
Shelly giraffe.
A Shelly giraffe. Or I'd say Shelly peanut. Candle, because to me, giraffe might imply, you know, a living creature. And so
peanuts were living.
Yeah,
I guess they grew on something living. Maybe you could consider them living. I don't know. How does that work? Are fruits
peanuts
living?
A giraffe.
Peanut. Okay, sure. So Brent would say Shelly giraffe, and I would say armadillo, and so you know, it's from there you'd be like, okay, well they thought armadillo, then he'd
earthy
say
Shelly giraffe.
Yeah, which would still make me say armadillo, but.
thinking that I tricked him the first time.
That's the gist of the game. It's a little hard to explain, but it'll become clear when we play.
Also, we're gonna play for points with so there's gonna be a winner, right? And so you want it's gonna be golf style, right? And so if you get it with one adjective, you get 1 point. And then the other person, we're gonna say the other person gets the next, or I guess maybe five.
Well,
I don't know.
We'll start with who has to use the fewest adjectives, and then we can go from there for tiebreakers.
Okay. Because then also, like, if you are giving it, you get points for getting it, like, if they get it sooner. And I was thinking you could get, like, you get
like, a bonus point.
Yeah.
You get a point taken off your score if you are the one who guessed someone's. Okay, sure.
Okay.
So we'll.
I want to start.
Brent wants to start.
Have a good one.
Okay.
All right. So, bear with me here. Odorous candle.
Okay. Is it a candle?
also, so like you can talk it out. You can, but you have to say final guess for it to count as your guess, and you are competing, so there's not it's a podcast, so you should talk it out to entertain the people at home. But
my first guess is a scented candle.
Okay, so I'm gonna preface my thought with, so I overheard Brent when he was thinking of his word. He did not share it, but he says that one's too easy or something along those lines. So I feel like he's gonna give a much better word later, and that makes me want to think that I gotta like be a few steps ahead. All right, so I'm thinking food. All of a sudden, I'm thinking some kind of food that he likes the smell of. Potentially something what he's having for dinner, because he's also mentioned dinner preparing for this podcast. So I am going to guess chicken. Final answer.
All right, Lindsay's thinking 9 steps ahead and 9 steps in the wrong direction.
Gosh dang
moving
it.
Moving on.
He had me going there. My next guess was going to be Wendy's chicken nuggets.
All right, a cleansing odorous candle.
Okay, so...
a bar of soap, final answer.
He's saying a bar of soap. I'm saying Windex.
Okay. Daily cleansing odorous candle.
Body wash. It's body wash, is my guess.
I don't know if... I'm thinking deodorant, but that's not necessarily cleansing.
Yeah.
Let's go... hand sanitizer.
Capped daily cleansing odorous candle.
Is it deodorant?
Daniel gets
it. What?
I feel bad. But the rules
that
are
is
rules.
Not fair. That is not cleansing.
Hey, he used a bad adjective. I just was 9 steps ahead of the game in the right direction. What can I say?
But it got you thinking about the right thing. It doesn't have to be accurate if it gets you to the right answer.
I just all the right. Only reason why I thought about that was because I was going back and making notes of the previous ad breaks, and Daniel did reodorant. That's the only reason why I thought it. Not because of anything you said, but because of what Daniel said.
Someone got it. So what? I'm unfortunately had to take 4. So that sucks. Bye.
To the victor goes the history books, as they say.
Okay, Daniel has 4 points.
So wait, Brent has 4 and I have -1. Is that the deal?
In theory, I think I would get like an invert. So like if you had gotten it on odorous, I think I would get maybe like -4 or something. But since you got it on like the 4th one, I think I'd get like -1 maybe.
Sure. I'm just going with what you're saying.
Whatever. It's the same. It just depends if we're going negative or positive. But we'll...
Update in between rounds. Daniel 4, Lindsay 0, and Brent is -1 for whatever reason.
Yeah, wait. No, this doesn't make any... I got punished for guessing right. Hang on.
Well, no. But, like, my next... If I don't get it... No, I think Lindsay has 5 points.
Okay, so Lindsay
gets points because more sense. I guessed it, and then you lose points because we were able to guess.
Well,
makes sense.
It's still golf score.
So I'm at 0, Lindsay is at 4, are at -1.
No.
Just go
on. We're just running with this.
We'll figure out the points later.
Clear candle.
Surely it's not glasses. Magnifying glass.
Mason jar. Final answer.
Final answer.
No. Clear. Oh. Hold on. I had a word and I was like, that's hyphenated. That seems cheaty. Clear. Containing candle.
I still want to say mason jar, because I've seen you drink out of mason jars many times.
I'm not gonna say a glass.
Tumbleware,
like Pyrex, like something you'd bake lasagna in. Final answer.
And Lindsay, what'd you say?
The same thing, but plastic. Oh. Tupperware is what I said.
No. Oh, I should have had more adjectives ready. I was just...
this is top tier.
Okay. Clear, cylindrical, containing candle.
Glass.
Yeah, it's final a glass.
Why do I suck at this game? I'm not that bad at this game.
Yeah, mason jar was so good. You were on the like right trend there.
So in theory, according to like how I'm imagining points, Daniel would get -2, I would get 3, and then Lindsay would get 4.
Okay, Brent, you said you get how many points?
3, because I got it on.
Okay, Daniel gets what?
-2.
I'm so confused.
Okay, so you guys are tied, and I get. You said 4.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm at 9.
Just because it's one more than what it was guessed. How many it took to guess.
Okay.
Because we're just going to assume that you could get it in the next one.
Sure.
Yeah. Intriguing. Well, mine is also candle. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, man. All these candles.
Okay. Paper candle.
I'm guessing he picked something around his room, and so I'm gonna guess a notebook. Final answer.
And I am going to guess a post-it note.
An enclosed candle.
Enclosed paper candle.
Yes, enclosed paper candle.
Enclosed paper. Is it an envelope?
Oh, that's a really good one.
Final answer, envelope.
Is it a cardboard box? Final answer.
I'll give it to Daniel. It was a letter.
You absolutely should give it to Daniel. also, like, if when you say final answer, like, if they have it, then
I think it's.
But I guess you were waiting to see if I got letter.
Yes, I was.
I would have been.
You had
I
the chance to
upset
agree
if
with
you
him.
Gave it to me, even if I guessed letter.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah. So,
envelope
is correct.
I almost would give you bonus points for that, but no. So Daniel would get 2. I would get 3, and then you would get -3.
So,
Lindsay.
So first I had 4, and then I got -2.
I have it all.
Now I
what
got plus 2, so I'm at 4.
You're...
And since I got 2, then Brent gets...
3.
3. I don't like the point system. Do whatever
sure
point system
either.
Makes me win.
Okay, how much points did you say I had for this one, Brent?
-3.
Okay.
Because someone got it in 2.
So, from my understanding, Daniel's at 4, Brent, you're at 5, and I'm at 6.
I think if you're not the one who guessed it, you should get 5 points.
I considered that too, but I feel like if you were to do that, you would just need to play more rounds for it to even out. But since
I feel like first like one to rounds. Bring up similar similar nouns should get some points also.
Interesting.
So without adding it all,
I don't know why you don't
up.
Like this point system because you did win.
Oh, did I win anyways? I don't know. I was thinking about it in my head. I was like, it feels like. I did well, but it doesn't feel like I won. Well, I just, you know, was thinking about the points. But, you know, if I won, it's, you know, it's a perfectly fine point system. We could make it better, but it works. Any final thoughts, either of you?
Wow, straight in the conclusion.
Yeah.
6 minutes past when we normally should be. We'll try and make a Twitter thing. We shout out to Mom. Will Smith come to the podcast and let us know what math section you want next. Also, someone asked for a more keyboard shortcuts with Brent. Really quick, Windows V brings up the history of your clipboard, aka what you have copied.
Wow,
there you go.
That is a potentially useful one. Does it keep images?
Yes.
Ooh.
You do have to enable it though, and so the very first time you press Windows V, it'll ask if you want to enable it.
Wow.
Okay. How much RAM does that use?
Could not tell you.
Wow. Okay. So you're gonna give us. Of it. You're gonna give us the.
Do I have to give the RAM of every single keyboard shortcut that I give?
Yeah, I want RAM, all the background information, data, how many lines of code, you know.
Got it. I'll do more research next time. Sorry about that.
Much appreciated. Lindsay?
To all the Lindsay fans out there, we'll get Brent's game next time. It was a rough match. I'll be sure to put in some word with the game writers, the game's bylaws writers, and try to get such point systems and things worked out in our favor for next round, because we should have won this one.
The
if your name's Lindsay, you get plus 80 points, but well, I guess that would make you lose instantly. So never mind.
The Doc G, if you will, Department of Brent's Game Globally, because C is for Brent's Game.
Right.
Intriguing.
I really hope this doesn't become a reoccurring bit.
You know, I
hate the Blockbuster one. So if we get one that you don't like, I'm not upset about it.
Oh, really? I hate recurring bits in general. I'm definitely exactly. Not the one pushing all of our recurring bits constantly. I don't know who's doing that. Wow. We need to talk to the manager about that.
Yeah, you should. See what else I'll say.
Anyways, like, comment, subscribe, follow. Are all things you could do that we appreciate. You could not do them, but we appreciate that less. So definitely do those things. If that's all, then I wish you all to have a bombastic week. We'll see you next time.